Hello and welcome to Effective Prayer and Effective Action. I'm Jim Collier, I'm your host, and we're going to get right into today's program. Today's program is The Kingdom Plain and Simple Part 2. It's a follow-up to a program we did a couple weeks back. If you need to call us at area code 717-238-5621. If you need to write us, you can write us at Pray for Our Cities, which sponsors this radio program and podcast. Pray for Our Cities, P.O. Box 1755, Harrisburg, PA, 17105-1755. If you want to email us, you can email us at PenelCFI, that's P-E-N-I-E-L-C-F-I. That's just P-E-N-I-E-L-C-F-I at AOL.com. Put something in the subject line, let us know who you are and what it's about, or it will be sent to the spam and deleted. Well, we got a lot of ground to cover. I actually did the program and I took the time to do a review, but then I said I'm going to change this here because I don't want to take the time to do a review. I sense a pressure. There's a pressure to do what God is calling us to do now. And let me just say something a little prophetically. Many of you who like to do catch up, you know, you think, well, I can just catch up later, or I can get it later, or, you know, I can get the tape, or I can get the CD. There's some things that are changing now. Have you noticed that things are speeding up? You know, with the advent of the internet and different media and different technological advances, things are speeding up, right? It's almost like we're moving at the speed of light. Well, it's going to continue. And so I want to encourage you to press in to get what you need as you need it. And don't think that you can just catch up, because catch up is not going to catch up. I just heard that, catch up. Not the red stuff in the bottle, but catching up is should not be your modus operandi. It should not be the way that you function. One verse of scripture, and we'll get right into this, and we'll pray and get into it. Matthew 13:11. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." But not to them. Matthew 13, from the message, it says 11. He replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. You are worthy to be praised. We give you honor, we give you glory. Let your will be done today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I recommend that you listen to The Kingdom Plain and Simple, Part 1. It just says The Kingdom Plain and Simple. That's Part 1. And then follow up by listening to this here, The Kingdom Plain and Simple, Part 2. And this will actually say Part 2. This builds on what came out before, okay? 3 points. God is love. God describes himself as being love. So point number one, God is love. Point number two, the kingdom of God equals the love of God. If God is love and God has a kingdom, then the kingdom of God equals the love of God. And the kingdom is love's manifestation. Now, we'll talk more about this as we go along, but listen to the first program. Now, let's make this even more simple. I think the first program was pretty simple, but I want to make it even more simple, okay? Let's extract the very essence of this revelation. The essence of kingdom living, and this is where the rubber hits the road for you and I. The essence of kingdom living is that we have to choose the kingdom of God rather than choosing the kingdom of self. Now, don't miss it because it's so simple. In other words, we got to choose to follow God. We got to choose God's kingdom and what he's doing and who he is and what he's about, rather than just what we may feel like, or just what we might think, or just what we might want to do at any given time. So the essence of kingdom living is that we must choose the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of self. Now, in the kingdom of God, there's an agenda, and you'll see more as we go along. But his agenda is based upon who he is, right? Which is love. Love is the agenda of the kingdom. Now, within each one of us, you and I, there is within us the capacity to lust for self-determination and control. Now, you might be so encouraged about how you're growing, and you should be. I mean, you are growing, and you're not the same person that you used to be, and you have better habits now, and your character is growing strong in Christ, and you're going forward, and thank God for that. Thank God for that. But don't forget that within you and I, there is a capacity to lust for self-determination and control. We want to have things our way. And hey, all you got to do is look at a baby to see that that's something that is ingrained within humanity, right? Feed me. Change me. Pick me up. In other words, within each one of us, there's a deeply ingrained preference for my will over God's will. The Lord, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, he said, pray, you know, your kingdom come, Father, you know, your will be done. And the reason why we have to pray that way and we have to focus that way and we have to intentionally live that way is because we want my will be done, my kingdom come. And it's deeply ingrained. You know, when Frank Sinatra sang that song, I Did It My Way, that's almost like the anthem of a selfer. That's the anthem of a person who is intent on doing things the way they want to. And one of the things that people are really big on is just dismissing God and saying that God does not exist. Or if he exists, he's not involved in people's lives. So doing things my way comes naturally to any human being. I mean, we don't even have to try hard to do things my way. Am I telling the truth? So in order to successfully live in the kingdom of God, excuse me, we must actively choose to yield or surrender our will to God's will. I mean, it's something that we have to do. We have to decide to do it, and we have to do it. Now there is a good thing that is underwriting all of this. In Philippians 2, 12 and 13, it says from the Message, and I'll just read the latter part of 12. It says, better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. So the question would be, what gives God the most pleasure? And obviously his kingdom being manifested, it gives him the most pleasure. Amplify puts it this way, not in your own strength, for it is God who all the while is effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. What is God's good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight? Well, in order to find out and in order to experience it, we have to choose to yield or surrender our will to God's will, because it's his good pleasure, it's his satisfaction, and it's his delight. In essence, our two wills have to become one will. God, and see, the reason why we have to line up is because God does not change. So if anybody's going to change, it has to be us. Excuse me. How do we change? How do we move more fully into this process? As we said in the other program, how do we process that chaos and move into a place of convergence to where the will of God breaks through? And breakthrough should be continuous and regular. Well, if you haven't gathered it yet, our will our capacity to will, to choose, is the switch. Just like a light switch, you got to flip it to turn it on. We have to flip our will, the switch of our will, to turn the light on. And see, at any given time, we can choose which kingdom we're going to function in. Now, I'm trying to make this plain and simple. That's how come when I say that unsaved people can actually at times be functioning in the kingdom. Well, think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. Doesn't it, just because a person takes care of the poor or does good deeds does not mean that they are saved or born again. But I do believe that somehow God has come upon that person or given them ideas or things to get his will done. Richest man in the world is working very, very effectively to try to wipe out malaria in Africa. And I'm praying, I'm hoping that he and others who have a heart for that are successful. It's a horrible disease. And I travel to Africa, so it's a little self-serving what I'm saying. And others, a TV personality who does a lot of good work. And, you know, but it doesn't mean that they're born again. But I do believe God comes upon them. He gives them ideas and different things, and they act upon it because they see that it's the right thing to do. And I've said on Kingdom Plain and Simple that it's better not just to be under the influence of the kingdom, but also to actively cooperate with the kingdom or to be a citizen. That's the best thing. That's the best thing. And if you and I, as believers, if we're going to function as kingdom citizens, we got to learn how to take the switch of our will and put it in God's hands and cooperate with the governor, the Holy Spirit, each and every moment. Right now is an opportunity. So you might be thinking, well, Pastor Jim, how do I develop into a person who chooses to live in God's kingdom 24/7? How do I develop into this person who constantly keeps their will in God's will and doing what God would have me to do, flowing in the kingdom? Well, the beginning of the process is a reformation of our will. And I did another podcast not that long ago called Reformation. So you listen to that, too. See, all of this is progressive. I can't encourage you enough to hook in to what is coming forward. I try to be prophetic, not pathetic, but prophetic before God and to get the mind and the will of God at any given time. And so I try to be very timely in what flows forward, that you get what you need when you need it. Don't try to play catch up. And listen, not just this program. There are other programs, podcasts, other things coming forward. But learn to discern, I would say, what is God's will for your life and flow with it. I know this podcast, this program is probably not for everyone, but it is for someone. So the process is a reformation of our will. The practical process comes from over in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Where we present our physical being to God, who we are, you know. A lot of times, as believers, we'll say something like, well, I'm a spirit living in a body and I have a soul. You know, you're a spirit, soul, and body. Believe me. All you got to do is stub your toe to know that you're a body. And there's a physical aspect of your being. You know, sometimes we get so spiritual, mystical, you know, that we're no earthly good. Come on, get real, okay? And so the Lord showing the process starts right out with the reality of it. First, you got to present your physical being to God. The only reason why we can function on this earth is because we have a physical being. If we didn't have a physical being, if our body was dead, if it was not alive, we would not be here on this earth. When a person dies, they leave what is known as this world. They go into another dimension. They are no longer here. Are you listening to me? That's very important. So the first part of the process is you present your physical being, which relates to your time and the time that you have here on this earth. You present that to God. Number two, that's number one. Number two, there has to be a nonconformity in you, and it has to be intentional. You got to choose and have a passion about this here, not to conform to ungodly thinking and activities. Now, how are you going to know what's godly and ungodly? Well, you got to have a good understanding of God's word, which comes through the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm a Christian, unashamedly. Maybe you're listening to this program, you're not a Christian. Maybe you're something else. Well, I'm not coming down on what you are, but I'm a Christian. So my paradigm comes out of a Christian context. So when I say nonconformity to ungodly thinking and activities, if I want to have a framework to work that out, I go to the Bible. I go to the Word of God, what I call the Word of God, the scriptures. Number three, and that's a major part of it, nonconformity to ungodly thinking and activity. And number three, excuse me, there has to be a renewal of our thinking through the process of faith. So I don't just use the word as just a framework to measure things, but I also use the Word of God to renew my mind and to actively, intentionally renew my mind and to change the way I think. I'm not just reactive, I'm proactive in this, right? And it helps me to move into the process, since number three is the renewal of our thinking through the process of faith. Basically, in faith, you receive an idea from God and you act upon it until you see the proof. You move upon it. You might be thinking, well, Pastor Jim, man, you make that sound so simple. Hey, well, it is simple, isn't it? No. Why is it so difficult to do this all the time? Some of you might be thinking, well, the devil. Well, let's stop giving him so much credit, okay? We've been called to be kingdom citizens. So why is it really so difficult to do this all the time? Well, think about it. It does not make sense to our rational mind to totally yield or surrender ourselves to God if we are not convinced of his total and complete unconditional love. I mean, think about it for a moment. What kind of sense would that make to surrender and totally yield yourself, your life, your opportunities, the time, the little bit of time you have? The Bible even says the man's life's like a vapor. So what sense would it be to give your life over to a God that you are not convinced loves you and loves you unconditionally? Not, you know, if you're convinced that he loves you, but he loves you conditionally, well, guess what? You're still not going to give yourself totally over to him, because he might change up at some time and you were on a fool's journey. And the God that you thought loved you, you're not convinced of that. And you think in the back of your mind, well, he might not love you. You're not going to give yourself totally to that kind of God. See, it doesn't make sense to totally yield or surrender yourself to God if you're not convinced of his total and complete unconditional love. Now, let me just ask you two questions. Do you really believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loves you unconditionally and completely? Let's take a Selah moment. Do you really believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loves you unconditionally and completely? Do you believe that? And then the second question is contingent on the first. If yes, then why don't you see the fruit in your life that a belief in a God like that would bring? A God like this would bring. God who loves you unconditionally. Think about it. See, I started out talking about how the kingdom, plain and simple, God is love. Man, it's the number one thing. You know, a lot of talk about kingdom is kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Kingdom don't mean diddly squat to me if I don't know that God is love. And I got to know that the kingdom of God equals the love of God. I got to know that, see. And the kingdom is love's manifestation. And that's what it's all about. And knowing that, see, I want to be a part of the kingdom. I want to flow in the kingdom. I want to have as much kingdom working in me and through me as I can have. See, because I want to have as much God working in me and through me as I can have, because this God is love. And first of all, he loves me. I know he loves you, but he loves me. See, that's what changes me, knowing that he loves me. And then I can love you because this God loves me. And his love can flow out from me to you. That's the kingdom, plain and simple. God is love. The kingdom of God equals the love of God. And the kingdom is love's manifestation. Now think about this, this wrong idea. And we'll take it up to the close of the program. Just think about this for a moment. See, this primary value, this primary overriding value, love must be your primary overriding value. And not just how the world defines love, because the world defines love and it is very conditional. See, in the world, I can say, I love you. But see, I love you because of the way you look. It's very conditional. If you don't look the way that I want you to look, or continue to look the way I want you to look, well, my love is conditional. I might withdraw it. I love you because of the way you present yourself, the way you dress, the way you act. That's why I love you. But see, our love and our definition of love and how we view love must come from the Bible, from the scriptures. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God took the initiative in his love, because God is love. And this has got to be the value. Let me give you seven principles to help you release your faith. It's free. It don't cost you nothing. I just want to throw this in here for you. Before you start pursuing major goals, you need to understand your purpose and the values you cherish related to it. Your success relates to your purpose and whether you fulfill it or not while here on earth. That's how your success will be defined, according to your purpose. Number two, when you know and understand what you were born to accomplish, that's your purpose. And when you can see it in your mind by faith and begin to imagine it, that's vision. A lot of things work against that. Fear, worry, hope deferred. It'll cut it off. Number three, the vision itself decides what is good for you. You learn to not just do good things. You do the things that are good for you to do in God, according to God-given vision. Number four, you got to know your core values and have the courage to integrate them into your actions so that you live an authentic life, one from the heart, living from the heart. See, your core values flow from your purpose. Number five, your core values will help you make difficult decisions and lifestyle choices. And don't worry about this here, because see, your purpose will shout your values. Just listen to your heart. If you're in touch with your heart, and you know there's two chambers of your heart, right? Spirit, soul. Your heart, your spirit is perfect. Your soul's being saved. So you got to be in touch with your spirit, man. And number six, when you're in touch with your heart and understand your core values, this will keep you on track to fulfill your purpose. Your life will be integrated. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And then number seven, core values and beliefs are where vision begins to flow. When you get in touch with your heart, you understand your purpose. Now you're ready to imagine the will of God for your life being done. You can't press the word to mark if you can't see it, and you got to have permission to see it. Listen, you got to have permission to see it. Permission. You have permission. You won't see it unless you have permission to see it. Living from your deepest heart is all the permission that you need. And I use the term core values. Core values are your beliefs, your convictions, ideals, standards, assumptions. They're the deep intrinsic beliefs that define you as a person. Now let's finish up this program here. I want to pray. God is love. We got to think of, listen, when we think about God's will, we think that the challenge is how to know it. You know, if I could just know God's will, that's not really the challenge. Get that out of your mind. But see, we think, how can I know the will of God continuously? That's not the real challenge. That's not the real problem. See, the real problem is how to choose God's will regularly. God's going to make sure you know his will. Kingdom living is when you know God's will, you act intentionally upon what you know. And through the process of relationship, you come to know God more and more. And by extension, you come to know his will more and more. But you got to act on that will that you know now. See, the real problem is not how you can know God's will continuously. The real problem is how to choose God's will regularly. That's successful kingdom living. And until you are totally, now listen, if you don't hear anything else, listen. Until you are totally convinced within yourself at any moment, now I'm not talking about for the rest of your life, but at this moment, you got to be totally convinced within yourself that choosing God is choosing life. You're going to continue to miss it. See, choosing God is choosing life, choosing real life. One of the things that I'm learning is that how you and I decide something can be just as important as what we decide. Now, many times as Christians and what we preach and what we teach, it's not too different from what a person would get from self-help teaching or something of that sort. Now, and there's some truth to these things. I mean, willpower, determination, discipline, setting goals are all part of the process, but they're not enough. They're not enough. Because, see, I'm learning that the power of will is desire or passion. It's desire or passion. If I love God with all my heart, man, I'm going to want what he wants. This means that if Christ, the King of the kingdom, and that's what we've been learning, kingdom, plain and simple. That means that if Christ is to have our will, which is the key, I've made it real clear, to kingdom success, he must first have our heart. If Christ is to have our will, he must first have our heart. And then in closing, before we pray, in order for God to have our heart, we must love him. We must love him. Implicit in love is trust. Young lady falls in love with a young man and gives him her heart. Trust him. A lot of times in the world, see, that trust is violated. That young man is not God. But let me tell you something. If you give your heart to God, he'll never violate you. He'll never rape you. He'll never take advantage of you. God loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son to redeem you and to bring you back to him because you're his child. In order for God to have our heart, we must love him. To love him, we must be convinced that he loves us. That's only going to come out of relationship. You're going to have to trust him. Take a chance on God. To be convinced that he loves us, we must come to grips with the fact that God is love. And it goes all the way back to that. And I told you that's the kingdom, plain and simple. God is love. Let me break it down one more time and then we'll pray. In order for God to have our heart, we must love him. To love him, we must be convinced that he loves us. To be convinced that he loves us, we must come to grips with the fact that God is love. Some of you like it so systematic. So number one, in order for God to have our heart, we must love him. Number two, to love him, we must be convinced that he loves us. Number three, to be convinced that he loves us, we must come to grips with the fact that God is love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to learn the kingdom, plain and simple. I pray, Father God, that these programs, the first program, Kingdom Plain and Simple, and this one, Kingdom Plain and Simple, part two, I pray, Lord, that it will do what you have designed it to do. And I pray, Father God, that it will bring countless multitudes of us, including myself, into a more fuller awareness and understanding of the kingdom. It all goes back to you, Lord. God is love. And Lord, may we not run from you, but may we run to you and receive our healing. You are healing your creation by forgiving it. And so, Lord, help us to stop being prodigals and running from you. Help us to stop being prodigals and trying to make deals with you. Someone once said that it wasn't about the prodigal son. It was about a prodigal father. It was about a father who was willing to look foolish in the story in order to grab his son up and love him and let that son know that he was affirmed and loved. And so today, Father God, help us to allow you to put that signet ring of authority back on our finger right now and with full sonship and full authority and full investment in the kingdom. Today we choose, Lord God and Father, by faith to trust you and love you. Just trust you enough to just believe in the love and trust you that you are love. We trust you enough today just to come to you, to open ourselves up to you, to be vulnerable before you, to pray, to open up in prayer, and to obey as we hear your voice. May we hear your voice, Father. Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they won't follow. May all of us, Lord, with our desire to follow you, Jesus, may we hear your voice in this day of conflicting and competing voices. May we hear your real voice, and may we follow you in this day. May we not hear the voice of religion, but may we hear the voice of love and follow you, Lord Jesus. We are your sheep. You have made us fellow citizens of the kingdom. You're the first begotten, the firstborn of many brethren and sisters. So we're back in the family now. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.